Our Father in heaven, can it really be that we stand forgiven on account of your Son and his death on the cross? It staggers the mind, and it elicits in us just the deepest gratitude, speechlessness for sure, but deepest gratitude. Receive our thanks that we offer in your Son's name. Amen. Do you remember in John 13, it was the night before Jesus' death, Jesus and his disciples had gathered in an upper room to celebrate the Passover. And during the meal, Jesus got up from the meal and he took a towel, wrapped it around himself, and then he grabbed a basin of water, and then he went around from one disciple to the next, washing their feet. And then when he finished, he said, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done to you?" Of course they knew what he had done to them. He'd just washed their feet. But there was so much more. And then it says that he proceeded to explain to them what he had just done to them, the significance, the meaning. They experienced it, and then they talked about what they had just experienced. I would like to take a cue from Jesus. We have just experienced the Lord's Supper, communion. Now let's talk about it, what we've just experienced. And this is part of our May series, Who We Are at Woodland Hills. What's important at Woodland Hills? What makes us tick? Why do we do what we do and the way we do what we do? Let's talk about the Lord's Supper and communion and what we at Woodland Hills understand about the significance and practice of communion. It's called the Lord's Supper, and this is our understanding of the significance. It's an opportunity to remember the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11 is the passage that gives us so much of this. Jesus told his disciples to remember him. Now we are told in effect the same. We can't remember him in quite the way that the disciples did. We weren't there at that Passover meal. But we can take what they did as a memorial to remind us of the sacrifice made for us by the breaking of his body and the shedding of his blood. So remembering, what is remembering? I think remembering, we would all agree, is an invitation not just to remember the actual things, but it's an invitation to worship. You did that, Lord. For me? Why? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I have done against you? It's an invitation to remember his suffering, his pain. Remember we read earlier, or we heard read to us, his sweat became like great drops of blood. His blood oozing out of the pores of his sweat glands. We remember the agony of his soul. Remembering is an invitation to understand more fully what he did. He was separated from the Father as he became sin for us. Christ's death, as we know, is the ultimate fulfillment of the Passover. God said back in the Exodus, "When I see the blood on the doorpost, I'll pass over that household." Whatever household did not have the blood on the doorposts, there was death. Christ, we remember, was the ultimate Passover, and his blood, applied as it were to the doorposts of our heart and life, means there's no death, no eternal death. We remember the Lord. It's a matter of blessing or thanksgiving. The cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, and the Lord's Supper helps us express our gratitude and thanks to the Lord Jesus for his sacrifice that accomplished our salvation. It involves communion or fellowship or participation. You know those words all come from that Greek word of sharing, koinonia. It's a participation in the body of Christ. The one loaf signifies that we who are many are one body, and we all partake of that one loaf. By this corporate act, we express our oneness with other believers and with our Lord. It's a sharing, a participation, a communion, a fellowship. It's a demonstration of our participation in the new covenant. By this act of communion, we identify ourselves as those who have entered into this covenant relationship with the living God. He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And when we eat and we drink, we say, we sign on to that covenant, to use inferior terminology. We agree with that. We embrace it. We welcome it. We give thanks for it. We wholeheartedly agree. Again, it gives us the opportunity to understand more fully what he did for us. Why was it necessary to have a new covenant? Because the old covenant of blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. When we take these emblems of the new covenant, we memorialize the new covenant, we reaffirm our embrace of the new covenant, we marvel at what God did for us, new covenant recipients. And it's an opportunity for witness and proclamation. We bear witness, like somebody said in the early hour, baptism is a witness to what Christ has done for us. We bear witness to what Christ did on the cross. He suffered, he bled, he died to invite us into relationship. He gave us his atoning sacrifice, and we proclaim that. We witness to that. Now, what does the Bible teach us about the Lord's Supper? As I mentioned a moment ago, the Lord has given us two ordinances, symbolic ceremonies, baptism and the Lord's Supper or communion. And we can summarize the biblical teaching about the Lord's Supper as follows. We're commanded to practice this ordinance. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." How we practice is nowhere specified in Scripture. It's not a direct command or teaching to do it this way or this place or this time. We have the example of Jesus taking the bread and the cup at the Passover meal and then using them to initiate this practice. But neither is the frequency specified. The Passover meal at which Jesus established this ordinance was an annual occurrence, an annual practice. But it's apparent in the early church that they practiced the Lord's Supper more than annually, and probably even weekly. Acts 2:42 is one of the passages that I would read for you, and you're welcome to turn there as well. "And they," the new believers in Christ, "they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." The continually, it kept on happening. We're not told, was it weekly, biweekly, monthly, middle of the weekly? We're just not told. Our pattern and approach in celebrating the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it." So our pattern at Woodland Hills is to celebrate the Lord's Supper. He didn't specify that, but we don't hear any reason not to, and he's worthy of it. And he said, do this as often as you drink it, and it conveys some significant regularity to it. So we have done that. Our pattern is also that we invite all who know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior and who are living in fellowship with him to participate with us in taking the bread and the cup. If you know the Lord Jesus and you're obeying him, you've been saved and you're obeying him, walking him, we welcome you to worship him in the way that he invited us to. Now, there's some errors that we should be mindful about in celebrating the Lord's Supper. The first would be to neglect to remember the Lord. He said, remember, do this in remembrance of me. So it's apparent then that we could neglect to remember the Lord. How might we do that? Well, it's possible to do the very act of taking communion and be unconnected in a remembering sort of way of the Lord himself. Wouldn't it be? We could be rote. We could be just performing some duty. We don't want to do that. We want to remember the Lord. We could neglect to remember the Lord. The Lord. We might have other things that have crept into our hearts and minds that have become lords, masters, bosses, idols. We need to remember not to neglect to remember the Lord. Another error that the scriptures warn us about, it's in also in 1 Corinthians 11, is feasting, gorging ourselves instead of remembering. In the church at Corinth, to which Paul wrote these words, some of them were coming together for the Lord's Supper, this meal. They called it the love feast, we read in the early church. And they would just, it was our dinner on the grounds times 100. And they would just feast and drink, and some became drunk even. That wasn't remembering the Lord, he said. Another error would be in your coming together to eat and drink, you fail to remember others. In that instance in Corinth, while some were feasting and gorging and they were unaware that others were hungry, maybe they were poor, they didn't have much food, and there wasn't any left for them, we could neglect others. But the word communion means a sharing, a community, a participation with one another. How could we do something uncommunity minded in communion? We could eat and drink unworthily, Paul said. What is unworthily? Well, he gives this example: sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord, and eating and drinking judgment, God's judgment upon yourself. I think those are the consequences of eating and drinking unworthily. So what is unworthily? When I think of the word unworthy or worthy, I think, how could I ever be worthy of the Lord? You probably think the same thing. I'm here because I'm unworthy. I'm here at the table of Christ's body and blood because I'm, but I think there's a nuance in this unworthy is, and I saw this in one of the translations that gave a sense that if I come to the elements, the emblems of his body and blood in a flippant way, in a casual way, having known sin that I'm unwilling to confess and leave behind, that I'm unworthy of the I'm unworthy of receiving Christ's forgiveness. I'm unworthy of worshiping the one who went to the cross and did all that he did because I am so casually considering, or even not even considering, his body and his blood. And it appears that if we come, the Lord knows, of course, that we're never worthy of him, but there's some sense by which if we disregard him and we're casual about him, that's unworthy even of the body and blood of Christ. One version says, responsible for the body and blood of Christ. That's heavy, isn't it? That if I come casually or carelessly or flippantly into, and I take the bread and the cup and I've got sin and he's not my Lord and I'm just doing my thing, that I bear some responsibility for the body and blood of Christ. That was that one version's interpretation. I think we could come to another error, and that would be fighting over how we remember the Lord. Can you imagine? We come to celebrate the Lord, his payment for our sins, his body and his blood, and we're over here bickering about something. I remember, it's been a while, but one of our communion leaders years ago, he's now with the Lord, and the people are also with the Lord, but the man is a great man, good-hearted man. He got mixed up and he served us the cup first and then the bread. And there was somebody who had a problem with that and they said out loud, "That's not right." And I thought, okay, what did we just tell the Lord Jesus, you know? Well, that's one example, but there are many, right, of ways that we could be fighting over this or that. I remember one denomination felt like you could only have communion if you were in an upper room. Why is that? Well, they had the first communion in the upper room, so we should all, you can't do this on the ground floor, you got to go, you know? And I think the Lord's grieved over those kinds of things. Is it possible there are other ways that we grieve the Lord? We should give that some thought. Well, those are kind of our guardrails that we use to direct us. We don't think they're let down from heaven. We try as much as revealed to us from the scriptures to follow those, but that's a little bit about Woodland Hills, who we are, why we do what we do, about the Lord's Supper. Shall we pray together? Lord, we want to thank you again for dying, for suffering, for inviting us into that suffering, that we can taste something, we can eat something that has to do with that awful sacrifice you made in order to cleanse us and in order to restore fellowship with God and to restore fellowship with others whom we have wounded and offended and wronged. We just thank you. We just thank you for making a way for our atonement. We're so in love with you. And to that end, Lord, our desire is every time we take the bread and the cup to behold you in your beauty, your majesty, in your love, in your kindness, your compassion, your mercy. We sang about so many of these, and we just love you. And would you receive our praise that we celebrated in this, in our lives now, that we intend to walk in fellowship with you, to not preach a different verse than we've just been preaching about who you are and what you did, to make a proclamation, to make a witness by what we've taken, but also as we interact with friends and loved ones and associates. And we love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you. Amen.